Hey, listeners. After five babies, I've changed a lot of diapers, and I have opinions about them. A lot of people think Pampers Cruisers 360 are best to use when your baby is older. But in my experience, they're the best diapers to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. That's because these diapers don't have ordinary diaper tabs. They have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that makes it so easy to change your wiggly baby who just can't stop moving. Just slide on to apply, rip the sides to remove, and roll everything up with the disposal tape on the back. Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, and just got even better with a new blowout barrier. And since these diapers stretch with your baby, your active baby can move all over the place, getting into everything as usual. Pampers Cruisers 360 are available in sizes 3 to 7, and now feature fun new prints. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Laura Vanderkam. I'm a mother of five, an author, journalist, and speaker.
And this is Sarah Hart Unger. I'm a mother of three, a practicing physician, and blogger on the side. We are two working parents who love our careers and our families.
Welcome to Best of Both Worlds. Here we talk about how real women manage work, family, and time for fun. From figuring out childcare to mapping out long-term career goals, we want you to get the most out of life.
Welcome to Best of Both Worlds. This is Laura. In this episode, we're going to be tackling the topic of aging, something that we are all doing because the alternative is much worse. So we're trying to have an open mind about it and embracing all the things that come with getting older. Sarah, are you embracing everything that comes with getting older?
No. I mean, somewhat. As everybody says, aging is certainly better than the alternative. And I 100% agree with that. And I feel very lucky to generally be very healthy. But we all have things that we have to learn to deal with, to learn to accept. And so that is what spawned this episode, in addition to the fact that there's lots of birthdays coming up.
We are not actually airing this on my birthday. I was like, do an aging episode. Ooh, we could air that on Laura's birthday. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about my birthday and aging and be so like obviously linked that way. Anyway, so like when you were growing up, I'm very curious, like what were your attitudes about aging and like what did you sort of absorb in your household, and especially as it comes to like women aging?
Yeah, I think this is so fascinating. So hi, Mom, if you're listening. I don't know if my mom listens very often, but if you are, hi. She never talked about aging, didn't do much discussion about really anything related to looks or beauty or anything like that. It just like has never been part of her value system. Like, I feel like she values health and stuff like that, but Like, I used to joke that, like, she had this makeup and I would, like, sneak and look at it. And I think it was from the mid-70s. And by then it was, like, the 90s. So, like, they're just, and I don't know if it was, like, a early women's lib thing, like, from the 60s. Like, it's not feminist to care about your appearance or something like that. And I don't mean to say that she was, like, looking terrible, but it just wasn't, like, there was no skincare going on. She did begin coloring her hair maybe in her 50s for a period of time. And I remember being like somewhat shocked by that because it actually did not mesh with like kind of like the vibe that I had grown up with expecting. So yeah, I mean, I have friends who will tell me that their parents like bought them the three-step Clinique system and always taught them to moisturize, or some savvy grandmother that said like always wear sunglasses to prevent wrinkles. But I did not get any of that growing up. That is not to say that I didn't care about my looks or more superficial things. In some ways, I think it was a form of rebellion to want to buy makeup and care about that kind of stuff, but it just wasn't what I was bathed in. How about you?
Yeah, no, certainly didn't get a whole lot of information on skincare or anything associated with that. Anything I've done is sort of that I've more figured out on my own. But I do, so I don't have particular memories of it. I do know that I read somewhere, and I think this is when I was a teenager, about hair, that you could have long hair until age 30, and then it needed to be shoulder length or shorter, and by 40, it should be chin length or shorter, which I now think is absolutely crazy, like that this was the rule that was out there. Because most of the women I know who are 40 plus have long hair now. And so I don't know if this is a total change of what aging is supposed to look like, that you're allowed to keep your long hair into your 40s. But with that, no one I know has wrinkles on their foreheads. This is such a revelation to me. For a long time, I had wrinkles on my foreheads. And at some point, you have this realization, like, why does nobody else have wrinkles on their foreheads? I mean, it's almost like if you didn't know that people like shave their armpits and you went to the beach and you're like, wait a minute, why does everybody look different than me? And so it was this revelation. I was like, oh yeah, everyone is getting Botox. It's not that I am the only person in my late 30s with wrinkles on my forehead and everyone else has been so, you know, genetically blessed not to experience this. It's that everyone is getting it done. Most people I know do not have great gray hair. That's another thing. Like, it's just not seen as something you do. You dye your hair, you get Botox. And I'm sure there are people I know in real life who are like, I don't do that. Okay, fine. I'm not saying everyone, but it was to the point where I was noticing it, that it would just seem like not acceptable to have short gray hair and wrinkles on your forehead in your mid-40s. So,
or at least not typical.
It would be unusual. And so I guess in that way, aging, we're all pushing off aging. As long as the cosmetic and various other things in the world will let us do so. But partly, I mean, it's also that many people still have like little kids in their mid-40s at this point too, right? Like you're not in grandma mode. Nobody I know in their mid-40s is a grandma either. So it's like, you know.
That's so true. I mean, obviously that's very specific to different demographics and things like that, because there are plenty of people out there who
are
in their
40s. Of course, there are tons of grandmas in their 40s. Like, I mean, I'm saying there is, and that's not like, you were not even talking like teen pregnancy thing here. You can very much have a grandchild in your mid to late 40s and it would be totally normal. But there's been that sort of demographic shift where a lot of people are actually having their final child in like their late 30s, early 40s. And so it's skipped an entire generation here. But if you're still in that young kid mode, you probably don't feel like you should reflect that.
Yes.
And how you look.
And you're kind of an interesting one there, because you have kids that are on the older side of the spectrum. And I can think of like some friends or people I know that have kids that are like in the high school years, and they're almost at the empty nest phase in their mid 40s. Whereas you're getting that part, but then you're also like, oh, no, my empty nest is like way more than a decade
years
away.
In the future.
So it does kind of change, because then you're going to the preschool bash with all the like 30-year-old or 32-year-old moms that have their first kid that is your youngest age. So it does put you in kind of an interesting situation when you kind of span such a generation there.
Yeah. Although there aren't that many moms in their early 30s with the preschool. That's another thing that's become apparent as well, that having Jasper in my 20s was still, for you know, this area and for the circles you wind up in, it is still pretty young. So I see that reflected at the high school. And then, you know, I'm not so out of line in the preschool, maybe a bit more out of line. But anyway, so yeah, I feel maybe there's like some less carte blanche to age visibly at this point. So, you know, we wind up doing stuff. I mean, so we can both say we both got Botox. We're okay.
Oh, yeah.
To talk
I thought
about
we were going
to
go through like lists of what we do. I think people want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So how have your 40s differed from your 30s so far, Sarah?
Well, you know, on the beauty regimen side, I started getting Botox right around 40. I remember my husband was like, really? Like, why? And I'm like, nope, doing it for me, doing it because everyone else is doing it. I feel better when I do it, so I'm doing it. And I do find it pretty helpful. From an energy perspective, I know like I'm supposed to feel more tired. Don't really feel more tired. Maybe that's coming. Maybe that's more of a 50s thing. I find that exercise really helps my energy. I'm in a really good exercise groove, thankfully running again after my injury. And so I don't feel too tired, which is great. I mean, late at night I'm tired, but I've gotten up really early. I have a good, nice window of 7 hours of sleep and then the rest of the time being pretty energetic. I will say like pregnancy was harder in my late 30s than it was in my early 30s, but it's always hard to compare that because my first pregnancy, I didn't have any kids. So I would like come home and put my feet up and like I had no other real responsibilities other than work. Whereas by the time I had Genevieve, I had like a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, you know, they were very active. So that's a little harder to compare. I do feel like alcohol is less agreeable to my body in my 40s compared to my 30s. Like I know that if I drink like 2 glasses of wine that I'm going to really not be happy and that I generally sleep better with 0 in my system. So I kind of only drink socially and I generally stick to 1 or 1.5. Like I'll sometimes order that second drink and halfway through be like, yeah, I'm not going to be happy about this tomorrow and just like not finish it on purpose. And I feel like when I was 30, that would never have even occurred to me. And then hair. So I have not started coloring my hair. I do have like some gray hairs, but it's pretty subtle. And so I'm just like kind of riding this train for as long as I feel comfortable riding it. I'm not really excited about coloring it because I already spend so much time straightening it. And I feel like my hair is going to be very hard to match. So if I just end up with like gray streaks that gradually turns into gray, that just like might be my thing.
That'll be your thing. Well, that could work. I mean, you know, we
could work. I'd be like Stacey London.
Yeah, no, that's true. She has the nice gray streaks. How are my 40s different from my 30s? Well, I don't know. My back hurts. I'm still trying to sort that one out because I, you know, I've managed to mostly solve other issues. You know, I had this really boring reflux related condition that I don't need to go into. But I, you know, the result being that I take medication for that and don't eat dairy products. And that has 90% solved it. Right. Like I have an episode every 2 weeks or so, and I am reminded of how terrible it was when this was every day, but it isn't every day anymore. So that is great. You know, so in that sense, life is better. But then my back started hurting. So I was like, well, you know, you go from one thing to the other. So I don't know. Maybe if I lost 5 to 10 pounds, that might improve, but maybe not. I'm trying to do a lot of stretching and back exercises to strengthen it and, you know, core exercises to try and take some of the pressure off of it. And hopefully figuring that out over time, we'll see. That will be the next frontier of attempting to solve aging related issues.
All right. Well, now we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into skincare. I already confessed to my Botox, but hopefully, or not hopefully, but in some cases, people do more than that. So I would say I am like, I wouldn't, not a minimalist, but I don't do a ton of like proactive different things. So my current routine is usually, I do wash my face. I usually use fresh soy face wash, which I got that rec from a friend. And it does an amazing job of being super gentle, but also taking off makeup. And I use Cetaphil in the shower. So super cheap kind of version of that. And then I do a daily tinted moisturizer every day that has sunscreen, like SPF, I think 35 or 40. So that way my face is always at least somewhat protected from the sun. I try to use some kind of product that has retinol in it in the evening. I went back to the Allure Beauty Box. And so usually I use whatever they send me that has retinol in it. So the product varies, but it's an incredibly cost-effective way to have some really nice products. And maybe the concentration varies and that's probably not ideal, but it works okay. And then, as I mentioned, the Botox, I got to say, I probably did myself a favor going to the dermatologist the last time because I was finally like, fine, you can do a skin check too, because normally I just go and get my procedure. And then I got biopsied and then they're like, ooh, that actually doesn't look good. Now you need the whole thing off. So now I'm like, wow, my life was saved by my vanity.
By your Botox. That's great. Hey, well, I got you in the derm office and if they find something while they're there, that's good. So I'm curious, what does the retinol do?
It's one of the few substances that there's data behind preventing. It's an anti-aging. It helps skin turnover and preventative of wrinkles. So at least that's what my derm says. She's like, if you're going to use one thing, use something with retinol. You can actually get products with retinol prescription at a very good price, especially if you have insurance that covers some medications. And so some people go that route, but I've just kind of gone the like whatever label has some retinol or retinal in it that I happen to have, I'll use it. I do like the Luna face oil from Sunday Riley. So when I'm really feeling splurgy, I buy that and I use it because I like the smell of it and the feel of it.
Ooh, well, maybe I'll try that. Yes. So I wash my face, which is sadly a bit of a, you know, improvement on previous situations. I think I would always often just like get annoyed about having to wash my face at night and just kind of fall asleep. And that turns out to not be a great idea in terms of, you know, just like blemishes and stuff like that and having makeup still on your face. So a couple of years ago, I decided that I didn't have to like it, but I did have to wash my face every single night. And I have done it. I have done it for 4 years now, I guess, every single night. And I, you know, use this, I forget what the name is. It's a European, it's like a Scandinavian name or something, but it's orange, like truth juice or whatever. It smells citrusy.
Ole Henriksen, don't you?
Ole Henriksen, that's it. And it smells nice and orangey, which I like. And so I use that at night, and then I use this grapefruit, like Neutrogena wash in the shower in the morning. And after I wash my face at night with warm water, because it turns out that part of the problem was cold water. Like, I don't want to put cold water when I'm cold at night and going to bed. I usually moisturize with something, and whatever that is going to be different depending on what I have. Right now, I have just like the random Olay in a big bottle. I've done the Regenerist tubs, the little tiny tubs of more expensive stuff. I don't think it really matters, and just do whatever. Because the truth is, you know, none of those like truly get rid of your wrinkles. Like, to get rid of your wrinkles, you need to do Botox. So now that I know that, I feel like, oh, you don't have to do expensive moisturizers. Which I also started getting a few years ago. I mean, it's fine. I like it. I don't think I would not do it now just because I feel like I'd be too wrinkly without it. It doesn't get rid of everything. Like, I still have the stuff around my eyes, but the ones on my forehead are basically gone for at least a couple weeks. But as they pointed out to me, I seem to have a very fast metabolism, so it's gone within a certain amount of time. So even just doing it every 3 months, like, I'm full on wrinkly again by the end of 3 months. I guess that's just the way my wrinkles want to be.
Interesting. Mine definitely is wearing off by 3 months, as I demonstrated to you when we got to see each other. I was like, hey, I just got it 2 days ago and it hasn't kicked in. So, but I feel like it's not totally out of my system in that time period. So it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I also color my hair. You know, I started doing this when I was 15, so it had nothing to do with the grays, and I've just kept pretty much the same color ever since. It's L'Oreal Preference 9.5A. That's the ash-toned, light blonde. And anyone who's seen a picture of me, somebody once said, well, you got to show us pictures of the before and after. And I said, I colored my own hair. I'm like, it looked the same before as it does after, because it's been the same color for 30 years. You know, so it's not like you're going to see a visible change, but it's just I keep doing it. I'm pretty sure I have some grays because when it grows in, I see a little bit of gray in the top. It's not over the top noticeable at this point, but I wouldn't even really know because I just do it every, you know, 6 weeks or so. And so I keep the same color and been fine.
Yeah, and I would think it would blend really well with gray anyway because it's light. So
That's good. True. Yeah, you know, people say, well, women don't get grayer. They just get blonder as they get older. And I guess that's the case. Or I just keep the same blonde I always have. All right, well, we're going to take a quick ad break. And we come back, we'll be talking more about aging.
Hey, listeners. After 5 babies, I've changed a lot of diapers. And I have opinions about them. A lot of people think Pampers Cruisers 360 are best to use when your baby is older. But in my experience, they're the best diapers to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. That's because these diapers don't have ordinary diaper tabs. They have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that makes it so easy to change your wiggly baby who just can't stop moving. Just slide on to apply, rip the sides to remove, and roll everything up with the disposal tape on the back. Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, and just got even better with a new blowout barrier. And since these diapers stretch with your baby, your active baby can move all over the place, getting into everything as usual. Pampers Cruisers 360 are available in sizes 3 to 7, and now feature fun new prints. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Today's episode is sponsored in part by Thrive Cosmetics. I am a speed demon when it comes to my makeup routine. I have approximately 5 minutes, or maybe 3, between showering and starting my routine of getting the kids out the door for school. And so I'm always looking for products to keep things super streamlined and easy for my everyday look. Thrive Cosmetics for years has been part of that. I've discussed the Brilliant Eye Brightener before, which is a serious workhorse for making me look more awake. But lately, I'm also super into their Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. It's a tubing mascara that lengthens lashes and is super easy to remove as well, which is key because my makeup removal routine is just as streamlined. You can feel great about shopping at Thrive because for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. So refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/bestof. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/bestof, BESTOF, for 10% off your first order.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, we are back with this episode talking about aging, the various things that we are doing in the process of getting older, which, as we continue to point out, is always better than the alternative. So, Sarah, you actually went and did your skin check. That's good. Anything else?
I did. I mean, I do my like primary care type stuff. So I believe it either was or is like a requirement for my insurance to get the best rate in terms of like for our healthcare system. Like you have to get a flu shot. You have to certify that you're non-smoking. And then I don't even know if it's still in there, but at one point you had to verify that you saw your primary every year. And so I'm like in the habit of doing it. I kind of like doing it because I like to get labs because I don't know. I want to see like what my cholesterol does. Like, and that part's kind of fun. But I also have to say when I had my injury recently, it was really nice that I now know my PCP. Like I've seen him for like almost a decade now, not every year probably, but close to it. And so he kind of like knows my baseline and we have a rapport and it just like makes it easier to be like, hey, you know me, I'm going to go crazy if I can't run. Like, please help me. Like, what do I do? What do I need? And like, he helped me get the imaging I need and stuff like that. So I like value that relationship. And I do go to the OB every year, although maybe I'll be less motivated to do that because I've taken myself off of various medications. So yeah, I mean, I do the basic stuff and I don't mind doing it. I have not had my first colonoscopy yet, but I guess that's supposed to be at 45. And I do mammograms, although I really, really dislike doing them. But it's I'm glad I do.
Well, good for you. You are a good healthcare citizen. I am not as good a healthcare citizen. I don't know. I feel like I got so burnt out with doctor visits with so many babies over the years that I've just generally been avoiding medicine.
Taking a break.
I'll get back to it once I'm sort of aired out from the experience of many, many years of babies and such. But my kids go to the doctor regularly, so that's good. Nobody write me and scold me. I don't want to hear it. All right, let's talk about fashion, Sarah. Fashion and aging. Have you changed what you wear over the years, or do you think there are any rules as we get older for what we can wear?
Do you remember? Well, I'm sure you remember because you were like a magazine person, like the very, very popular stories like in Vogue or even in like, I don't know, Mademoiselle that would be like dressing for each decade. Here's the outfit for your teens. Here's the outfit for your 20s. And then by the 50s, they were like shrouded in like,
like full on like hooded robes.
Pretty much. So I like remember being steeped in that growing up, but I feel like times have changed and I do live in South Florida and like you will see like 60s plus more women like strutting their stuff in like thongs on the beach. So I do appreciate the fact that people have gotten more open-minded about like what you're allowed to wear at certain ages. I remember posting on my blog maybe a few years ago that was like, can I still wear cutoff jean shorts? And people were like, yes. And then I bought them and I still wear them and it's totally fine. And I also, I guess part of it is like not as much caring. Like I don't see myself as much as like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like I'm more likely to just be invisible if I want to be. And so I actually feel better about wearing a sports bra now than I might have felt when I was 25 and felt like people might like pay attention. And also it's really, really hot here. And so I'm just like less self-conscious. So I don't know. I still wear two-piece bathing suits. My daughter was like, I don't know. Are you like still going to like, how long are you going to wear those? I'm like, thanks. But I wore a high-waisted one in the Keys and I didn't feel too ridiculous. I don't like wearing bathing suits or swimming in general, but like it was fine. And I feel like there is just more diversity of style. Like there used to be like, oh, everyone's wearing skinny jeans. Everyone's wearing straight jeans. And now like I see all different kinds of shapes of jeans out there. I like that. And I don't feel like any specific age is wearing any specific style.
Yeah. I think I remember one of the first times I was just like, you know, okay, I feel old and like I would never wear what these kids are wearing. When I went to a concert, it was a Brad Paisley concert a few years ago. Michael and I went together and you know, I think I wore like jeans, a cute little top or whatever. And all these girls were wearing these tiny little like jean shorts such that the pockets were hanging out the
bottom. It's very
bottom.
Country, very country, music.
Right? Which I, you know, now get like people wear this to like country music concerts, but I'm just like, why? Like if your pockets are below the hemline of your shorts, like it feels like something went wrong here. And I maybe it's a style, but you know, I'm just kind of like, wow, I am such a fuddy-duddy at here. But no, I will not be wearing shorts where the pockets are longer than
mine
where
are not that short. For the record.
They come a little bit further down your thighs than that. Yes. That your jeans will not be mistaken for your bathing suit bottoms. Yeah, I graduated to one pieces at some point in my mid-30s. I was like, no, this is probably not happening anymore. But it's more that I cannot stand to not be comfortable. And I don't know if that's what not that I ever wanted to be uncomfortable. I think I was, you know, just incredibly non-fashionable for my entire life. But my tolerance for it has gone down even further from where it was, to the point where, you know, I was shopping for a dress for my husband's office holiday party, because I always get caught short with this. I'm like, oh, wait, do I own anything? And I don't. And so then I wear the same thing I wore like 3 years ago and it doesn't fit right anymore. I don't know. Anyway, so and then I feel like, why am I doing this? So I was shopping online because I didn't want to go to a store. Just like, what does Amazon have for holiday party dresses? And there were many that were just entirely terrible, which again, I would never wear with like one shoulder out or like some slit up the side of it. But then I found I was only looking for like long sleeve dresses. It's nothing with like modesty or anything like that. It's like, it's December and it's cold and I don't want to be cold. So I'm not going to wear a little strappy dress to a holiday party because then I'll have to wear a coat with it inside. And I would wear the coat and everyone would be like, what on earth are you wearing a coat inside for? So I am going to be wearing a long sleeve dress.
I actually, okay, this is like the most tangential side note, but like there was a really pretty long sleeve dress with like a contrasting like placket, and it was like holiday, it was like wine colored with like a red in the Marine Layer catalog. And I'm like, I want this. For the same reason, I'm like, that just looks so comfortable. Like you could wear it with boots or like whatever shoes. It looked stretchy and like soft. And I'm with you. Like I am much less tolerant. And like, don't get me started on shoes, because I used to be queen of heels. And I like, to some extent, yes, it's fun to be like more closer to everybody else's height, which is what happens when I put on heels. Like I'm not tall, but I'm like more eye to eye with people. But I do have a pair of like the platforms that I was wearing at Best Laid Plans Live. Those are super comfortable. So there are like the rare bird shoes that give me some height and I can like walk in them all day. But beyond that, it's like, no, just like hard no. I'm not going to squeeze my toes. Some of that's from running. I'm just sort of like, my feet are precious. I don't want to blister them up in
for
heels.
Something that's not worth it. Yeah. Well, I can't even, you can't even walk and stuff. Like, why would you wear it? Like, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. And with this, years ago, bought a pair of Jimmy Choo stilettos for speaking related purposes, right? Like, if you're on a big conference stage and you're walking around and people can see your feet, I was like, yeah, I should probably wear, you know, not like really fuddy-duddy black heels that, like, you know, all the other ladies are wearing fabulous shoes and I'm wearing this, you know, stuff that looks like orthopedic shoes. And I'm, you know, this was when I was like 32. But anyway, so I bought the stilettos, and what I would do is I would take a little bag with regular shoes, stick it behind the curtain, put the shoes on just to walk out, sort of stand there wearing these shoes. Soon as I get off stage, I'm like, take these things off, put them back in the bag, and wear like flat sneakers, whatever, around the backstage and out to the cocktail hour or whatever. Cause I, again, I'm horribly immature about this. I cannot be uncomfortable. I won't do it.
Even to the cocktail hour. You're like, nope, the important part's over.
The important part's over. You want to talk to me. Hopefully it's because you want to talk to me and you don't care about my shoes.
No, I get it. And I wish there was more. Well, actually, shout out to Lonnie and Lander from Real Life Style, because they do a comfort shoe roundup every year. And I have found some really good picks on there, because there are a few shoes that can give you some of the illusion of looking fancy or taller with the right elements to keep your foot comfortable. But then there is a certain type of shoe, like the stiletto you mentioned, where like, I just think physics wise, it's like not possible.
Yeah, it doesn't really work well. But, you know, I guess it looked nice for 30 minutes on stage. Have you had any sort of psychological differences of getting older? Like, do you think you have a different perspective or, you know, anything like that?
I think yes. I guess I think the more you've seen and the more you've gone through and the more things you've witnessed in life, the better you are going to be able to process what's coming at you and perhaps, like, you know, understand like what's really important and what's not. So there is some element of that. I wouldn't say I've reached some Zen pinnacle, maybe when I'm 50. I don't know. I think I appreciate life more. Like, I feel like it goes fast, but I'm more like, oh, like this is precious. Like, I, you know, you don't know how long it lasts. And I mean, I've always sort of thought about that, but it becomes more real the fewer years you actually have left. And I do, I think it was some podcast that mentioned like passing the hot baton and just like not, like I'm dressing for myself. Like I don't care what others think as much. And I do think there's definitely a lot of peace and confidence to be found in that.
Yeah, no, definitely some of the perspective on that, or just that, you know, problems can be solved. You can, you know, do things and try things and, you know, you don't have to worry as much about, you know, whether is this the right thing? Is this what everyone else is doing, perhaps? One thing I can say, I really like having older kids. I don't know if, I mean, I obviously love babies. I had a ton of them. They're really cute and all that. But of the stages of kid life, I really like being a mom of teenagers. And I enjoy talking with them. I enjoy watching their lives and like what they're finding about what they like to do and seeing how they build their relationships with their friends, and really enjoy spending time with them doing big kid stuff. And so, I don't know, I just feel like that's a benefit of getting older, in the sense that I'm not planning to have any more babies. So I'm out of the little kid years, and I still have little kids, but I also have these older kids. And I definitely am a big fan of the older kid age. So happy to be in that stage of life at this point.
Yeah, me too. I mean, my experiencing self, especially, is just generally, if I had to just like, if someone were to interrupt me during a random weekend at 2 p.m. and be like, how do you feel right now? I guarantee the number is higher now than it was 10 years ago when I had, you know, like a one-year-old. Maybe 8 years ago is even better. A one-year-old and a three-year-old. It's really fun to have bigger kids. You can do more on your own and you can do more with them. And they're like more and more exciting and interesting to be with. So I really like it too.
And, you know, fortunately, I think neither of us are dealing with many, parent issues of that as much right now. I know some of our listeners are deep in the sandwich generation thing, where as you are raising your adolescents, you also have aging parents that you are helping coordinate life for. So again, we're happy to hear from people about that and would love to feature some of those stories as well. So feel free to reach out to us. We're always looking to talk more about that topic because we know we have a lot of listeners that are going through that.
And I do think about it, especially like as my parents, they're still pretty healthy, but I know at some point there's going to be like medical stuff. And I don't like the idea of me not being there to help them navigate it. Just having known that like the healthcare system can be incredibly difficult, especially when you're kind of coming in from the outside. My sister has actually moved near my parents. She gave me permission to share that on the podcast. So that's actually pretty exciting to know that like she's there that could help them out in a pinch and that they can help her as well. So I feel really lucky that kind of have that little triangle going on.
Yeah, my parents actually live 10 minutes from my older brother and sister-in-law. So that's good for that. So yeah. Well, I would love to hear people's thoughts about aging as well. So feel free to send this in. You know, so this has kind of been the all Botox episode, perhaps. Your takeaways, Botox and we don't like uncomfortable shoes. So I guess that's what we'll remember from this episode. So the question this week comes from a listener who is thinking about business trips. She has things worked out for childcare, whether that's her partner doesn't travel as much for work or has another setup, whatever, it's not a problem for her. So she's got that. But her question is more, is it okay to say no to a business trip or will that be seen as a lack of commitment to your job? She feels like she goes on a lot of trips now that seem to be, as she puts it, for age 50 plus men who believe in being seen. And she says, I go along with that culture as a younger woman because I don't want to appear uncommitted or that she's the mom, in quotes. My boss seems to think it's a benefit for me to get to these things, and sometimes it is, but recently I'm feeling like I'm making almost pointless trips with all the negative sides of it, as she doesn't particularly enjoy the travel in this form. It's, you know, there's a difference between going and relaxing in a resort in Hawaii for a week versus like going to, I don't know, Detroit for business for three nights. Not that Detroit isn't wonderful, but it's
not quite
the same thing.
Or even going to Hawaii, but then being in a boardroom the whole time.
Yeah, being in a boardroom all day. That's true. And you never even make it to the beach. So she's wondering, can she get out of it? Sarah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is one where like a little strategy might make sense. Like it doesn't have to be all or nothing. So is there a way you could be like, prior to the start of the year, be like, oh, I want to get more proactive about like really planning the shape of the year and like making sure I save the travel for what's really, really meaningful. And maybe having a conversation about, I think X number of trips would be the right balance for me to be able to really stay productive in the office. And if you were to suggest four of the most important trips for me to take this year, what would they be? And then like getting, you know, whatever a number that feels more acceptable. Because I do think like if all of a sudden you went from going to everything to going to nothing, that there may be people may find that somewhat problematic, but instead couching it as like, I want to prioritize, I want to strategize, I want to be the most valuable for the company by being able to like really excel at work when I'm there and then devote energy to the trips when it really matters. And then seeing if you can get some suggestions, even if you already know, getting the input would probably look good.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is one of those situations where like, I mean, even if it is just that you don't want to go, I mean, people are often way more willing to be like, oh yeah, she didn't go because she had this big thing she was doing locally. Right. So I don't know if you have a client-based business. It sounds like you might, if you know people are going to visit clients various places, that's why you're being seen. You have the ability to build up your client base, I'm sure. And maybe there are people who are local, right? Like that maybe there are some companies that you could identify to work with that are within 2 hours of you. And thus, you don't have to be gone for 3 days to go visit them. You could go have dinner with your client who is an hour away and you'd be home sleeping in your own bed. And especially if those are perceived as very profitable and important clients, nobody is going to complain when you are spending your time building up relationships with them versus, again, the, you know, getting on a plane for a client that is 3 hours by flight away from you. I mean, it's just easier to build a relationship with someone close because you can see them more often. So I think really being strategic there about your client base. And also when you have just on a day-to-day basis, something that's really important that's other than this. Like, I think you could be like, gosh, I wish I could go to Detroit with you, but I've been asked to go to this board meeting here. And you go to the board meeting and that's one day. And then you don't have to do the 3-day trip to Detroit or whatever it is. I'm sorry, I keep talking about Detroit. Let's say Dallas or, you know, Los Angeles or whatever. But because you have this 1-day trip that's huge for something important, you don't have to do the 3-day trip somewhere else. You just might want to be strategic about that during the ones that you perceive as least valuable.
Yes. Strategic, framing it as how can I serve this organization best?
All right. Well, love of the week. Sarah, what are you loving this week?
I decided to try to think of something on the aging type topic, and I came up with Clinique Almost Lipstick in Black Honey because I bought it for the prom when I was like 16 or 17 years old, and I wore it then and I loved it and I still really like it. Now, obviously I have, you know, bought some new tubes over the years, not using a 30-year-old, however old tube of lipstick, but it's good. And I'm like, will I wear this in my 70s? Wouldn't that be cool?
Maybe. Why not? Well, I might still be wearing my bootcut jeans in my 70s. I don't know. I wore them and I realized like everyone was into skinny jeans for a long time. I never got into skinny jeans. I don't like the way they look on me. They look perfectly fine on other people who are even like the same size as me. They just do not look good on me. So I've been wearing bootcuts. Still am. Maybe they're back now. Sarah, you can tell me. Are they back now?
I mean, I feel like skinny jeans look really dated for the most part now, and people are wearing like wide leg and flare and like straight leg and like vintage cuts and like, yeah, I think you're ahead of the curve.
Well, because I was behind the curve for a long time. I never left the curve. I'm still on the same darn curve. That's kind of how it goes, and you become comfortable with that as you reach your mid-40s. Well, we will be back next week with more. This has been All About Aging. We will be back next week with more on making work and life fit together.
Thanks for listening. You can find me, Sarah, at theshoebox.com or at @the_shoebox on Instagram.
And you can find me, Laura, at lauravanderkam.com. This has been the Best of Both Worlds podcast. Please join us next time for more on making work and life work together.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.